Good morning. I'm super excited to be here with you all this morning. It doesn't matter if there's 1,000 of us or 3 of us, as long as we gather together to worship the Lord this morning, that's the important thing. So I am going to share with you a little bit about my organization, but I also have kind of a Christmas message to share with you as well. So I'm kind of deviating from my normal presentation for what I would share about my organization, because I think it's important during the Christmas season to make sure that we recognize the season. And today I want to talk to you about Mary. So if we can go to the next slide. Lots of times we see pictures of Mary, and she's dressed radiantly, and there's lights coming from behind her, and she has this halo around her head. But oftentimes we forget that Mary probably looked a little bit more like this next slide. Mary was a simple village girl that the Lord chose to use. We're going to be this morning in Luke chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 26, and we'll probably read through about verse 40, so if you want to turn with me in your Bibles, you may do so. Verse 26, it says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, 'Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you.'" The Bible says Mary was favored, and the Lord was with Mary. Do you think Mary was confused? Why was she favored? She was an ordinary village girl, and Mary was probably a little bit confused. Mary wondered about this type of greeting. Greetings, favored one. Let's look in Luke, verse 130. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus." First of all, the angel tells her that she has found favor with God. Can you just imagine what Mary must have been feeling when an angel appeared to her? What if an angel appeared to you? What would you think? Would you be scared? Would you think, God has sent an angel to tell me something? Am I in trouble? You never know, right? And so, the angel immediately tells her, "Don't worry, Mary, because you're favored. You are favored of God." And I just think it's so cool that he comforts her right off the bat and begins to tell her his plan. The angel tells her not to worry, that God has favor on her, and I'm sure that was a relief for Mary. But listen what the angel told her next. In verse 31, he says, "You will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus." Now, I titled this message, "Mary, Did You Know?" because I laugh a lot of times when I hear that song, "Mary, Did You Know?" And I don't laugh disrespectfully. It's a beautiful song, and I absolutely love it. Actually, I was listening to it this morning, and it has a great message. But the words are, "Mary, did you know? Did you know that your son was going to be born to save the nations? Mary, did you know that he was going to be the one to save the world of their sins?" And I laughed just a little bit because I want to say, yes, she knew. Mary knew that she was having Jesus, and Mary knew what he was going to do. And we can look in Luke 32 and 33, and it tells us exactly. The angel is speaking to Mary, and he starts in verse 32 and says, "He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and in his kingdom will have no end." The angel tells her right there, he's going to be called the Most High. He will sit on the throne of David. He will reign over the house of Jacob, and his kingdom will have no end. So every time I hear that song, "Mary, Did You Know?", I just want to yell, yes, she knew. The angel told her. The angel told her that he was going to be the Most High, that he was going to sit on the throne. She knew because the angel told her. Mary then, Mary, the favored village girl, was obviously very confused about how all this was going to happen. Because if you will remember, Mary was engaged to Joseph, but Mary was a virgin, meaning that Mary wasn't really expecting a child. And how was this going to happen? So let's look what it says in Luke verses 34. Verse 34 says, Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered to her and said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child will be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. She was called barren and is now in her sixth month." Now, Mary is going to have a child. Not just any child, she is going to have the Savior. She is going to have Jesus. And Gabriel also lets her know about her cousin Elizabeth. Now, we have to go back a little bit and look at Elizabeth to get a full picture of what's going on. And if you were to look back in the first part of Luke, in verses 5 through 7, you would see that Elizabeth was barren, meaning Elizabeth could not have children. Elizabeth was also very, very old. But Gabriel spoke to her and said that she was going to have a son as well. She was going to have a son named John. But I love what he tells Mary about Elizabeth in Luke 37. He says, "Nothing will be impossible with God." And you see this verse a lot. Some people have it, in their homes, or I actually have a friend that has it like tattooed on her wrist, and she loves that verse. Nothing will be impossible with God. But if you really look at it in context, nothing is impossible with God. He took Elizabeth, who was old and barren, and she is having a child, John. He took Mary, who is a virgin, who is now going to be conceiving the Christ child. Nothing is impossible with God. So it looks like Mary is going to have a child, and we're going to look down here and see exactly how John was sent to prepare the way for her. John was sent for the people, for the Lord to prepare the way. And I think it's great that he sent John before Jesus, because he had an advocate to go before him. He had an advocate to help him. And let's look back at Mary. Mary, did you know? Yes, she knew. Not only did Mary know, but Elizabeth knew. And Elizabeth's husband, Zacharias, knew, because the angel had told them as well that they were going to have John, and John was going to be the forerunner to Jesus, and he was going to prepare the people. He was going to prepare the way for others to come to know Christ. The angel had told her all that was about to come. All that was about to come to pass, the angel had told her. She was having Jesus. He was going to rule the nations. But my very next part is my favorite. It is my absolute favorite. And that is Mary's response. Mary's response in Luke 1:38. "Behold, a bond slave of the Lord." Those are her first words. She acknowledges the fact that she is a servant of the Lord. And then she continues, saying, "May it be done to me according to your word." May it be done to me according to your word. Let me help you understand. An angel came, told her she was having a child, and she had to say yes. Mary had to say yes. If Mary had not have said yes, would we have a Christ child? Mary had to say yes. Mary had to be obedient. Mary had to be obedient to God's call on her life. She was a village girl, a simple village girl, but she said yes. And she said, "Let your will be done in me." I'm wondering how many of us this morning would be willing to be Mary. How many of us would be willing to say yes? You can go on to the next slide. So I want to tell you a little story about a simple village girl that decided to say yes. I am no one special. I have a degree in education. I taught school for a long time. Kids are really my passion, and lately I've been doing a lot of like women's conferences and things, but kids are my heartbeat. And I've continued on from teaching into a role as children's minister, where I served for a very long time and loved every minute of it, working with the kids. And one day the Lord, well, not just one day, over a series of a couple years, actually, the Lord just kept knocking on my heart. And he kept saying, I have this thing I want you to do. And I kept saying, not me, I'm good. I have a good job, I have a great church, I make a good salary, I have a nice house, I drive a nice car, not me. Thank you, you can move on. Choose the next village girl. But I kept getting scripture. He would wake me up in the middle of the night. And I had this thing, if I wake up in the middle of the night, I feel like the Lord probably needs to tell me something. So sometimes I'll get my Bible out or sit and read or I'll pray. And over that period of about 2 years, the Lord kept revealing to me scripture and things about caring for orphans and caring for children around the world. And he really burdened my heart for kids are all the way around the world. I just came back from India and Indonesia, and I did some baby dedications and a women's conference, and was able just to be the hands and feet of Jesus and love on those people there, and it was amazing. But I would not have had the opportunity to do that if I had not said yes. And saying yes to Jesus is not an easy thing. I sold my house. I sold my pretty Mercedes that I drove. I quit my job. I literally gave up everything to do what I felt like, to do what I felt like God wanted me to do. And if you think about Mary, Mary gave up everything. Everything. Mary was going to be engaged. Mary had a family. A mom and a dad. Mary lived in a village. Can you imagine living in a small town and being pregnant and not being married and all the things that would encompass that? Can you just imagine? Mary gave up everything to be obedient and to say yes. To say yes and be the mother of the Savior. Another thing I like to remember about the story of Mary is the Lord spoke to Mary and told her what he wanted her to do. And Mary said yes. And in that saying yes, well, let's just look and see. Mary went to Elizabeth and she stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months. But in Luke 1:45, in Luke 1:45, it tells us, and blessed is she who believed there would be fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord. So she goes and stays with Elizabeth, and Elizabeth's words to her were, blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord. Mary not only said yes, Mary believed that God was going to fulfill what he told her. God spoke it. The Lord spoke it over her. Mary said yes, and then Mary had to believe that it was going to be fulfilled. In 2 Corinthians 1:20, I think that might be the, is it the next slide? Yeah. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, for no matter how many promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes, and so through Christ our amen, which means yes, ascends to God for his glory. The New Living Translation of that same verse says, for all God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. And so, through Christ, our amen ascends to his glory. This is important because after she said yes, she believed it would happen. And then, look what she did next. She praised God. In Luke 46 through 55, let's see what Mary had to say. And Mary said, "My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on all generations will count me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear him. He has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has shattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. He has exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. He has given help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy. As he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, his descendants forever." Mary praised God. How many times do we go through something, a trial? And believe me, this was probably a trial for Mary. And yet she is praising God all the way through it. And she's saying, "God, I don't understand this. But I am saying yes to you. I'm going to believe in what you have planned for my life. And I'm going to praise you all the way through it. I'm going to praise you every step of the way." So I'm asking you today, will you be like Mary? Will you be obedient? Will you say yes to his calling on your life? There are many, many, many others that that God has asked to say yes. Abraham is a good example. Abraham was asked to come out. He also was asked to sacrifice his son Isaac. He was asked to leave his wife in the wilderness. And Abraham was blessed for being obedient. The blessing was Abraham was the father to the nations. His descendants would be as many as the stars. But then there are other people in the Bible who were asked to be obedient, and they refused. If you look at Lot in Genesis 19, verse 17, Lot flat out said, I can't. Lot refused to come out. And then when Lot finally did come out, he lost his wife because she looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. How many of us are willing to say yes? You can go to the next slide. In saying yes, LoveShare has been able to partner with orphanages in 7 different countries. We're sharing God's love through education, teaching children to grow in wisdom and stature with the Lord. And we have an educational nonprofit, which is a 501c3. I want to explain a little bit. We are an educational nonprofit for a reason. That reason is I just came from India, and I'm not sure if you know anything about India or the religious state of India, but there are people called anti-Christians. They storm churches where Christians are. They worship false gods. They have over, I believe it was 30 billion gods they worship. They have statues erected all down the streets. There's a god to the monkey. There's a god of the sea. There's all of these statues, and people go and bow and worship them. And we're able, as an organization, to go in and help provide education. But through education, we're able to get in the country to be able to educate them about God, as well as give them basic educational needs for the orphans. So that's why we're an educational nonprofit instead of a religious nonprofit, because other organizations such as Compassion International just got kicked out of India. So we kind of go in under the radar a little bit. It was funny, I was at the chiropractor before I left, and he said, well, are you worried about going to Indonesia because it's a Muslim country? And I said, well, no, I'm not really worried about going to Indonesia. If I was worried about any country, it would probably be India. And he went, really, you're worried about going to India? And I said, well, I'm not worried because God's going to take care of me. But here's the deal. You know, the Bible is illegal in a lot of countries. And India is one of the places where it is not common practice to be a Christian. 1% of all people that live in the country of India are Christians. And we're able to go in and speak truth to them. We're able to work with their kids. We're able to make sure the kids get Christian values instilled in them through their education. We're able to sponsor kids and help make a difference in their lives. So that's why we're an educational nonprofit and not a religious nonprofit, although we are very much so religious. So you can go on to the next slide. Oh, stop it just a second. So this, I want to give a little brief introduction before he starts this video. This video is actually one of the kids that we sponsor in Kenya. Her name is Phyllis, and she is super special to me. One of the reasons I started Love Share is when I was going on mission trips, I wanted to just pack all the kids up and bring them home with me because that's just my heartbeat. And she was one of them. I would have packed her up and brought her home with me if I could have. And we've been able to support her all the way through. Even before I started this nonprofit, I personally was helping support her. And so she is getting ready to tell you a little bit about how we met and her journey in her educational process.
Hi, my name is Phyllis. I am from Kenya. I'm a kid at Victoria's Children's Home. I'm in my fourth year at the University of Nairobi. I'll be completing college campus next year in December. That's when I'll be graduating. So the disease time in my first year, I was giving up, I was losing it, I didn't have enough school fees, and I was almost giving up. I thought I would never make it. But then Linda was doing mission in Kenya. She was on her mission in Kenya, and she was at the orphanage. And the orphanage had ran out of funds. And many kids were home because of school fees. I was lucky enough to meet Melita. I told her what I was going through. I told her about almost giving up. And she listened to me. I love her about that. She listens. She saw a future in me, I know. And she told me not to give up. Going to help me, she will see what to do. Before I could notice it, she sent funds to our director and she paid my school fees. She's been through with me, she's been helping me all through since I started the first year. She's been supporting me and she told me it's from Love Share. I'm so happy that I'm almost finishing school, completing campus. It's just God. And I thank you so much, Melinda, for helping me to Love Share. Thank you so much. If I were to say thank you, if I were to meet that person who funded the money that paid my school fees, I don't know, I can't express it, but I just say thank you so much. Thank you, may God bless you. You're helping someone recognize that they are able and capable of anything. At least you're making somebody's future brighter. Thank you so much, may God bless you. Bye.
Hi.
Okay. So she just graduated December 21st of this year, and those are her graduation pictures. So we have been able to support her all the way through high school and college. And that's one of the things we try to do when we take on kids is not just give them an elementary education, but help them get all the way through, because we believe that you can break the poverty cycle through education. If they have an education and they graduate from college, they can get a good job. They can make a life and a future for themselves. Otherwise, they would be stuck in an orphanage with no schooling whatsoever, because you have to pay tuition to go to school, no matter where you go to school. There are no free educations. There's not a school bus that drives by to pick you up and take you to school in the morning. They pay, and it costs about $500 a year to send a kid to school, and that includes their uniforms and their school shoes. Every child has a uniform in every school, and they have a certain shoe, a school shoe that they must wear. So we are just really fortunate that we were able to help sponsor Phyllis all the way through. So that's a little celebration that I get to share with you all today, since it just happened this week. But you can go on to the next slide. So my yes was starting Love Share. That's what the Lord had put on my heart. That's what I did. I had to step out in faith to do that. And my heartbeat is kids. That's just how I'm wired. So my yes is going to look different than your yes. I don't know how you're wired or what your gifts are, but I can promise you that God has something that he wants to use you for, because each one of you are created with a purpose. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. Even the children that are in this room, God has a plan and he has a purpose for your life. And you might not know what that is right now, but I can promise you the Lord's going to meet you in a still, small voice, and he's going to whisper in your ear one day, or maybe he's already put that in your head, or he's already tugging on your heart about something, and I don't know what it is. Maybe it's helping us with Love Share. That's awesome. But maybe it's doing something totally different based on your gifts and abilities. So whatever that is, I'm going to ask you today to think about what that is that God's been speaking to your heart, and be like Mary and say yes. Thank you guys for having me this morning.